we're just going in cold, man. So
all right, you're hot.
We're hot.
So yeah, we are.
We're hot. You're hot. You're always hot.
You're hot too, David.
That's a compliment.
You got your followers.
Whatever. Not as much as you. You know, I was thinking, Liz, I need to come up with a really good opening for this show.
Okay.
A really dope opening that'll just grab you from jump.
Have you come up with anything yet?
Not yet, no. I really haven't. I was listening back to our previous shows, and the way I came in, I was just like, damn, I'm one corny son of a bitch.
Yeah, but that's your draw, though.
That's my job, to be corny?
No, that's your draw.
My draw is to be corny?
Yes. That's just like who you are, though.
I don't know how to take that.
It's a compliment.
Anyway. This is the world's most dangerous entertainment news podcast. She's the co-captain of this ship, my Puerto Rican side dish, Liz Eidenbach. And I'm David Banks, and we are the Screenland Squadron. Now, normally, I will come on at this point and say the squad's all here, but we're not.
We are not.
We're missing our baby girl.
We are.
Megan is on vacation with the family somewhere in the United States. So we're going to hold down the ship in her absence, and we are recording, as always, from the 86th Street Pub. And listen, kids, if you've never been here before, come on in. Great service, great food,
yes.
Beers on tap.
Mm-hmm.
Can't ask for anything more.
Not really.
And if when you come in here, ask for the tenderloin. The tenderloin sandwich is the bomb. Trust me. I've had it several times, and you're going to thank me later. So, Liz.
Yes?
What's going on in your world outside this podcast thing?
It's always something. But I am actually getting ready to leave down to New Orleans, and we are going to go on a cruise down to Cozumel and the Yucatan.
If you say New Orleans, you got to say it right when you're down in Nolens. Nolens. That's how they say it down there. That's how they say it down there.
Okay.
They'll look at you like an alien.
Well,
if you say New Orleans.
I'm a Yankee to them.
You have to say Nolens. I'm going down to Nolens.
Nolens.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll work on that.
So you're going on a cruise, right?
I am. 5 days.
5 days?
Yes. Now, hopefully this hurricane that's hitting them right now isn't going to mess everything up, so I'm crossing my fingers, praying. These hurricanes are ruining my life.
Oh, goddamn, that's right. They do have a tropical storm developing down there, right?
Yes.
Oh, man, come back safely, or else I'll be the only one here.
Well, it's already going to pass by the time I get down there. I'm just
hoping
it doesn't mess everything up while beforehand.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on. That's what I'm preparing for.
Well, cool, man. We got a huge show for you today. Our main topic of discussion is the return of The Walking Dead. That's coming up later. But first, we have a lot of news to get to. So let's just start casting the old pods here. First up, now, when we started this show, I had a creed of not going all Kardashian, not jumping on the old TMZ gossip train. But this story is just too good not to talk about. The drama surrounding the Fast and the Furious franchise, in particular, the other Mr. T, Tyrese Gibson and Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Mm-hmm. Now, Tyrese called out The Rock via IG, and for the uninitiated, that stands for Instagram. He posted a pic and wrote that Johnson had a problem because he wasn't the only one on the movie poster, calling Johnson a clown. Tyrese says Johnson didn't have to accept the role, the solo role, I should say, and said that Johnson and the franchise producer broke up hashtag Fast Family. Now, let's explain this story to the kids here, Liz. Following the release of the last Fast and the Furious movie, the only good thing about that movie was the Shaw and Hobbs character, in my humble opinion. Because the rest of that movie was trash to me. I hated that movie.
I really liked that movie.
It was the worst of the franchise, I have to say, honestly.
Well, okay, I mean, yeah, it wasn't the best movie of all, 15 of them, or, I think it was like a 7 or 8, but still. But I liked it. I still enjoyed watching it.
The producers of the movie saw the chemistry between Hobbs and Shaw, in particular The Rock and Jason Statham, and said, hey, we got something here. So word came out pretty much right after the release is that they were going to have a solo
spin-off.
A spinoff, yes.
Yep.
And so I guess that's in development right now, or else maybe Statham is not in the movie. Maybe it's just going to be Hobbs and whatever. But the release date for the next Fast and the Furious movie was going to be 2019. And so since The Rock has signed on to do this solo Hobbs movie, the next Fast and the Furious movie has been pushed back to 2020. Now, what is Tyrese Gibson complaining about? Because the man ain't hurting on money. No. He's got a lot going on. You don't see Vin Diesel bitching about it. Well, I can't say, you know, Paul Walker, he's passed away. But Ludacris is not, I know, right? Ludacris is not bitching about it. It's all Tyrese. He looked like he's just poor. He's not poor. What's he bitching about? He don't want to bitch about The Rock, man. The Rock is like three times his size.
Not even that. I mean, The Rock has his hands in so many things right now. So just let him do his thing. I mean, I guess I can kind of get it. Maybe he just feels like, you know, like they're pushing the movie back just because The Rock has a spinoff. And maybe he feels like, hey, we had our movie first. Like, why don't you do the spinoff afterward? I don't know. I guess I can kind of see where he's coming from. But at the same time, like, why are you complaining? Who cares?
And on a personal note, take all the time they need to fine tune the script. Because if it for another year, because like I said, the last movie was trash. I hated it. I didn't like it. I really didn't like it. So take all the time you need. If it takes another year, fine tune the script, make it better. In my humble opinion, and these are just my opinions.
We all have opinions.
These are just my opinions. All right. In other news, it was announced the other day that Academy Award winner Jared Leto from we all know who played the Joker in Suicide Squad also won the Academy Award for Dallas Buyers Club and Panic Room. Will be playing the late Hugh Hefner in a movie based on his life and directed by Rush Hour 1, 2, and 3 director Brett Ratner. Now, for all those who are wondering if they killed Hugh Hefner just to make this biopic because you have to be dead in order to make a biopic, well, conspiracy theorists like Johnny Lyles over there wondering, because there's no truth to that thought. The movie has been in development since 2007, so there, all you conspiracy theorists, yes. Shut up.
I guess they've just been waiting for him to die.
I don't know, man. Hugh Hefner's been dying for probably the last 20 years, living the life.
You know, it's kind of like, you know, kids maybe who have a really rich parent or something or aunt or somebody just hovering around the bed waiting.
But I like this pick. I love Jared Leto. I don't want to say he's a method actor, but Jared Leto can play anything. Yeah. Recently, he was in the just released Blade Runner 2049 movie.
Yes, yeah. I read that he is a method. He does basically live his character for whatever he is.
Well, if you believe the stories that was on the set of Suicide Squad, the man is crazy. But, I mean, he's a talented individual.
Mm-hmm,
also a recording artist with his band 30 Seconds to Mars.
Yeah.
So I always love Jared Leto's work. Let's keep it moving. How about this? And probably the saddest news that I have to report today. Netflix are going to increase their prices this month. One of the most highly anticipated TV shows returning this month, and yes, I'm talking about Stranger Things too. But apparently, if you're gonna watch it, you're gonna have to pay more. Do you subscribe to Netflix?
I don't.
Oh well, you don't have to worry.
You know
about
how
this,
I watch
then.
My stuff. So.
That's right. You don't have to worry about this. The standard $10 per month option will increase by a dollar, making it to $11, while the 4K supporting $12 tier jumps $2 to $14. For the time being, the basic $8 plan will remain unfazed. The new prices are in effect for new customers as of today, while those who are already subscribed will see changes in the upcoming bill cycle. Starting October 19th, members will be notified at least 30 days in advance based on their billing cycle on when they will see the new price change. Members will get an email and a notification within the service. The price change will roll out to members over the next several months. I am sad because I subscribe to Netflix and now I have to pay more. Damn it.
Well, what's the difference between the basic and the other two plans?
Well,
then?
The basic plan is it's just a standard version. Then you go up a notch to HD. And then you go up another notch to 4K.
I gotcha. Okay.
Which I do not have 4K, but I do have the
HD.
The HD version. Mm-hmm. And you can pick the plan where you can watch it on multiple devices also.
Okay.
So, you know, you can watch it on your tablet at the same time as while somebody's watching it on TV or your phone or this, that, and the other. So I think there was a story a few months back that I don't want to say Netflix is in debt, but I guess that's what they say because they've been spending billions and billions of dollars on original programming. And now that they're losing Disney, they're losing all their Disney content.
Yeah. Yes, they are.
Even the Star Wars. It was said that they won't be losing Star Wars But it was announced that they will be losing Star Wars. They might be losing their Marvel TV shows like Daredevil, Jessica Jones, The Defenders.
Oh, wow, because a lot of people use Netflix for those.
Yeah, for that.
Well. Yeah.
So they might be losing that because Disney is developing their own streaming services for their platforms like ESPN and Disney Movies and all the vaults. So
yeah, it'll be interesting to see if, you know, I'm sure people will subscribe because they want those, but it'll be interesting to see if how many people will subscribe, because now you have to have all these different subscriptions, Netflix, Hulu, Disney, like all these different things.
Exactly. So. And everybody is cutting the cord now. Mm-hmm. But with all these apps and all, you know, these streaming services, like you just said, if let's say you get Netflix and you got Amazon, then you're going to get Hulu, then so forth and so on, you're going to be paying the same amount.
Exactly. Now you're still back to paying $50, $60.
$50, $60. Yeah. So you're going to have to pick and choose what exactly that you want. Yep. Or what exactly is a necessity for you. Like for me, I subscribe to Netflix and Amazon. And through Amazon, I've subscribed through my HBO subscription. So I'm paying probably around about $30 a month for that,
mm-hmm.
not including internet. Right. You know, so I might as well go back to cable. Goddamn. Anyway, let's stick with Netflix. How about that? Netflix has postponed the Punisher premiere. After the recent tragic events of Las Vegas, Netflix has reportedly postponed its premiere of Marvel's Punisher. Recently, Marvel and Netflix released a joint statement stating that The Punisher would no longer be having a panel at this past weekend's New York Comic Con. They replaced the panel with a Stan Lee documentary. According to Newsday, the surprise premiere, which was believed to be in November, has been postponed. Netflix and Marvel obscured the release dates on posters and advertising and plans to utilize a surprise strategy for their fans similar to that of an album drop. Now, The Punisher is expected to premiere later this fall.
Interesting. I just don't really have words.
That's kind of a bummer to me.
It is really a bummer.
I was really looking forward to seeing The Punisher because I love Jon Bernthal's portrayal of Frank Castle. Mm-hmm. And it was one of the best parts in the second season of Daredevil. Actually, to me, it was the only good part of the second season of Daredevil because I really didn't like the second season of Daredevil anyway. But I was really looking forward to this, coming off the disappointment of their last two Marvel Netflix shows, Iron Fist and The Defenders, which I hated to say was a disappointment to me. I was looking for a re-up with The Punisher. Now we're going to have to wait a little bit longer. But I understand. You know, I understand with the events that happened mm-hmm. in Las Vegas why they would do this.
Yeah.
And it's not the first time that a studio pushed back a TV show in particular. I think they pushed back. There was a show on USA based off the movie The Shooter. And it skips me on what tragic event happened while they pushed that movie.
There's been so many, it's hard to keep track
anyway. Yeah, but they did push that show back a few months.
Mm-hmm. But at least you can respect the fact that they were being respectful of what just happened.
Yeah, so. Yeah, but it's still a bummer.
Yeah.
Let's see. According to Ben Affleck, the Justice League movie won't be like the Avengers. Ben Affleck said in a recent interview, and I quote, "I didn't sense that we were moving towards something that felt like the Avengers. Joss Whedon is more than just an Avengers director. He's a good storyteller. In midstream, Joss came on in part of what interested him was the puzzle aspect of fitting the pieces that weren't there. Joss came in and worked a very fine line between Zack's sensibility, tone, and direction. We found a really fun, inspiring synthesis of their two forms of storytelling. I was so glad everyone showed up for work for Zack." End quote. And that was Ben Affleck who said that in a recent interview. Now, we all know that after Zack Snyder stepped down from the Justice League following his daughter's tragic death, Joss Whedon, I always say Josh. I want to say Josh all the time.
We can just say you have a speech impediment.
Yeah, I probably do. Stepped in to oversee the reshoots. Before that, though, Snyder had brought in Whedon to rewrite the additional scenes of the Justice League reshoots to make it easier for Whedon to transition from writer to director. Now, Justice League is still scheduled to be released November 17th. What had happened was Zack's daughter, I believe, if memory serves me correctly, committed suicide. And with all movies, they have reshoots scheduled later in the year after principal photography is done. Joss Whedon was hired by Warner Brothers to do a Batgirl film for DC and Warner Brothers. As we all know, Joss Whedon's one of the architects of the Marvel Cinematic Universe over there at Disney, director of the first and second Avengers movie. So he was one of the bricklayers for that whole cinematic universe over there. And so it was really a get that Warner Brothers was able to get Joss mm-hmm. Whedon over to DC. And he was hired to do Batgirl, but when Zack Snyder's unfortunate happenings happened in his life, he stepped down from Justice League, and in comes Joss Whedon. Now, there are rumors that he was kind of pushed out because of the they didn't like the tone of Man of Steel and Batman v Superman. Don't talk about Batman. Do not.
He must have just.
I don't want to hear it.
Anyway, take the breath so to say on, something.
He came on and was doing reshoots, and there was a bunch of rumors out there that they was basically redoing the whole last half of the movie. And I believe there's a trailer. Yeah. The trailer was going to be released this past weekend. I'm actually more interested in seeing this film than probably Star Wars at this point, maybe because we're so close to the release of Justice League. If we're closer to the release of Star Wars, I'll probably be more excited to see that, though. But I really want to see what Joss has, you know, bringing over his Avengers magic over to Justice League. I'm really anticipating. I'm interested. I want to see this.
Me too. I'm really looking forward to it.
I mean, I'm a DC guy by heart anyway. So I mean this. I mean, the last trailer that was released at Comic-Con this year really got me excited. So, sticking with Justice League, the November issue of Empire Magazine with Justice League on the cover is on newsstands now. And, of course, you can see some of the images from that magazine on our social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and the Twitter.
It's Twitter, David.
Twitter? Okay. Twat. Anyway.
Oh, my God. You just wanted to say that, didn't you?
I just want to say twat. Every episode, I'm going to say twat.
Okay, well, right. Whatever makes that's you feel
better
about yourself.
That's how I'm going to open up the show. Twat.
God, grow up.
And finally, 27 years ago, a little show premiered on a little network called Fox. This little show quickly grew up and to become a pop culture phenomenon. Made names like Jason Priestley, Shannon Doherty, Luke Perry, Jenny Garth, Brian Austin Green, Tori Spelling, Iron Ziering, and Gabrielle Carteris.
It's Ian, by the way.
Ian? Yeah. Oh, sorry.
It's okay.
You must watch
Unless maybe it is
Sharknado.
Ian. And I think it's Ian, though.
Whatever.
It doesn't matter.
Anyway, and Gabrielle Carteris, household names, and ushered in the era of sideburns. Yes, kids, on October 4th, 1990, Beverly Hills 90210 burst onto our TV screens and the world was never the same. 27 years ago, my God, I feel old. I really do. I used to watch this show religiously. I did, because I wanted to see how rich white kids lived other than me. You know, I was a poor black kid from the ghetto. I wanted to see how the other half lived.
It makes me feel old that it's 27 years ago, but I did not get into 90210 at all. I
you did?
You know, no. I watched maybe a couple episodes here and there, but it just seems so fake to me. I was never a soap opera watcher. I was never anything like that. So I don't know. It just didn't pull at me.
It did to me. I don't know why. I mean, well, yeah, I do know why. But it was every. I think it was like came on Thursdays on Fox. I believe it came on Thursdays on Fox. And it also, you know, provided spinoffs like Melrose Place, too, which lasted a long time. I think 90210 lasted for 10 years. And, you know, you had people come in and out. I think, you know, Luke Perry left. Then he came back. Jason Priestley left. Shannon Doherty left. Tori Spelling's character was a virgin for like 10 years, and she gave it up. Huh?
What?
Oh. So unrealistic? She yeah. was. I think her character was a virgin until like 10 years later after the show.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
That's not unrealistic. Well, I guess so. And I guess that, you know, they would have had teen pregnancy and everything on that show, right?
Yeah.
Anyway. So yeah, so 27 years ago that show premiered, and like I said, the world has never been the same.
All right, David. Well, since you were such a you know, vivid watcher of the show, why don't you name off the characters? That was your show.
Okay. I can take this challenge. All right. Brenda, Brandon, Donna, David, Steve, Kelly. Andrea. Did I get it right?
I don't know. Oh, I didn't watch the show.
I thought you was looking it up.
I'm trying, but
I couldn't get Andrea. I should have known. I lost my virginity to a chick named Andrea. So, yeah. Yeah, I think that's it. Because Brandon and Brenda were twins. That was Jason Priestley and Shannon Doherty. I should know that. And then after Shannon left, you had Kelly Kapowski from Saved by the Bell jump
yes.
on.
That's right.
Okay, yeah, I think I got it right. I'm sure I'll be corrected later on.
Okay, so Brandon Walsh and Brenda Walsh.
Brandon and Brenda.
Kelly Taylor.
Steve Sanders.
Andrea Zuckerman,
such yeah.
Such a weird last name. Dylan McKay and David Silver.
And Donna, Tori Spelling's character, Donna.
Oh, hold on.
Donna Martin. More. Donna Martin.
Why did they make this so complicated?
I think her name was Martin. God damn, I'm such a geek. How do I remember this?
But you just said it because you're such a geek.
Golly, man. And if anybody wants to check out this show, I know it's streaming on Amazon Prime, at least the first season, because I checked it out not too long ago. I was like, oh, not a tour. No, it's on Amazon Prime. I'm going to watch it. Anyway, so let's get into our main topic, The Walking Dead,
yes,
ladies and gentlemen.
I'm so excited.
The Walking Dead returns to AMC on October 22nd. And in my humble opinion, this is going to be a very important season for the show. Now, last season wasn't accepted very well by the public. The premiere of said show drew in 17 million viewers and had an 8.4 rating. That, of course, was the deaths of Glenn and Abraham Aww. At the hands of Negan. The season finale drew in 11.3 million viewers and had a 5.4 rating. The average viewership this season was down compared to past seasons. But even with those numbers, the show is still the number one show on television. Now, what'd you think of this season, this past season, in a whole? Like, everything.
I liked it. I think people just didn't appreciate the fact that Rick and his group just couldn't catch a break. And every time you thought that, okay, fine, they're finally, you know, getting people on their side, or they're finally, something's going to happen for them, and then, nope. And I think that was kind of like, they're building you up, oh, then we're going to just pull the rug from underneath you this time. So, but I think overall, I think it was needed, because it seems like every other season, you know, something good happened, almost, you know, for the most part. And I think this was the season, like, nope, Negan's just going to kick your ass every single time you, or the saviors, whatever. But it's building up for what is possibly, hopefully, going to happen this season.
Well, for me now, you know, if anybody who knows me, I'm also a co-host on this little show called Indie Drinking Dead, and we watched, we do a little fan cast, and we watched Walking Dead each and every week and talk about it and everything. So, for me, let me go back to the season six finale, which I absolutely hated. I thought it was cheap heat. I thought it was a cheap way to get viewers to come in to see
the premiere. Mm-hmm.
Of season seven. Now, I remember, because I'm always looking for leaks and spoilers, because I really don't give a damn, but I remember hearing and reading about that season six finale on how it was shot. Now, let me take you back, and if you remember, they were all lined up, but it was from the point of view of the person who got hit for the bat, so you didn't know who died.
Right.
And which, like I said before, I thought it was just cheap the way they ended it. And, you know, you didn't have to do that to get people to come back. I thought it'd be more impactful if you showed the death, and then the aftermath would be next season. So I remember being right here in this very room. People were pissed. And I can just imagine what people were thinking about at home. I hated it. Absolutely hated it. Even knowing the conclusion and seeing it how it was portrayed on the TV screen, I absolutely hated. Now we fast forward, the anticipation for season 7, the premiere for season 7 was at a high because people wanted to know who got the bat. Was mm-hmm. it now going back to that period of time, we all knew it wasn't Carl. We all know it wasn't Rick. So who could it be? So you had people, you know, doing their little CIA methods, you know, kind of deciphering.
Trying to listen to sound bites.
Exactly.
And,
going
yeah,
back,
everything.
Rewatching this. Oh, he fell to the right. Oh, it must be this person. Oh, no. He fell down to the, you know. It was crazy. But it worked. 17 million viewers watched it. And I remember we were at the Broad Ripple Tavern at that point in time. And we had just got done recording our show, and it was packed. They had the garage doors open, and people were walking down the street in Broad Ripple, stopping, looking at the TV to see who got hit mm-hmm. with the bat. People from the other side of the bar came to the back where we were. It was a happening. It was an event. And I remember sitting there, and when Negan hit Abraham for the first time, everybody was like, oh, you heard this gasp.
Of course.
And he just constantly just kept hitting and hitting and hitting.
It was brutal.
It was brutal. And then when he got to Glenn, and you saw that scene of Glenn with his eye all popped
yes.
out and his head caved in, and he's looking at Maggie.
And he's trying to talk, but he can't get it out.
I'll find you. You know, even I, and I watched some brutal shit, okay? I don't care. I've watched some brutal shit. Even I looked at that and said, man, they really taking it too.
They took it as far as they could for, you know, a 9 o'clock show
on AMC. And that was the conspiracy. That was the complaint from many of the viewers that it was too violent.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was perfect.
Well, look at us, of course, you know? Shit.
It was needed.
Exactly, that's what I was saying. But that was the complaint from many of the viewers. Said they took it too far. They crossed the line. It was too violent. It was too brutal. But like you said, it was needed that way.
It was needed because that's who Negan is, and they've already watered Negan down. Anyway, I don't read the comic books, but I do sometimes go back and just kind of spot check the characters a little
right.
bit. And Negan is watered down on the show, which of course has to be because we're not talking an HBO show or a Showtime show or something where they can just go all out. But they had to. They had to bring Negan to life for who he is as much as possible.
And I thought the same thing, you know, because if you had, if you have read the graphic novel at that point in time, outside the death of Abraham, the death of Glenn was taken basically frame by frame from
yes.
the comic.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly how it was, how it was played out in the comic
mm-hmm.
book, other than a few F-bombs dropped
right.
here
oh,
and there.
Oh, well, yeah, that's like Negan's every other word.
Yeah,
that's
his every other word is an F-bomb. But that scene was what it needed to be. That whole episode was what it needed to be. And I loved the episode because they milked it.
Yes.
Like the first 20 minutes of that particular episode 1 of season 7, they milked it for like 20
mm-hmm.
minutes. You were still, and they had a commercial break in between there, and you were still wondering
yes.
who was going to die. And even I didn't really know because, like I said, I look for spoilers and leaks and everything. They had filmed several different endings.
Yes, nobody knew.
Yeah, and if you look at that episode, it was all of Rick's vision. It was all of his
mm-hmm.
thoughts of everybody getting hit by the bat. And I remember seeing online a leaked video of Maggie getting hit. And everybody thought it was Maggie. Everybody, you know, I didn't think it was. I wanted it to be Daryl. I said for a year and a half up until that point.
Such a hater, David.
Man, fuck Daryl. Daryl should have got hit. I thought it would be more impactful. I thought it would be more impactful for the story. I thought it would be more impactful for Rick personally if because he had a strong connection with Daryl. That was his brother.
He had a strong connection with Glenn, though. He's been with Glenn since day one.
He did. But I felt like Glenn had more of a strong connection to Maggie.
Well, of course.
Than he did to Rick. So I thought, and still to this day, I think it should be, I thought it should have been Daryl. But that's neither here nor there, what happened. But my complaint with the whole season in general was this. I hate the single storylines. I hate how they concentrate one complete episode Hilltop, and then the next episode will be about Oceanside,
or on the Kingdom.
And then the we did not see Carol until like the fourth or fifth episode of this season. Everybody was wondering what happened with Carol. Yeah. What's going on with her?
It's very true.
It's because the last we seen Carol, she got shot, and then she was the next thing you know, she's meeting King Ezekiel, which I have to admit, I do like King Ezekiel.
I do. He's it took a minute.
Yeah.
But he's warming up on
me. It did take a minute, but I highly enjoy King Ezekiel. But I don't like I said before, I don't like the single storylines. They constantly, then the whole Oceanside storyline, that could have been condensed into another storyline with another location, you know? I don't like how they, you know, concentrate on one and then we don't have an update on other places
until,
or
like
other
an
characters.
Episode or two later.
Yeah, exactly. And then use like, It just keeps it long, too long and drawn out. And then I got a beef with the makers of this show and the producers.
What's your beef, David?
The CG. The CG is awful.
Okay, so there was one time when Rick was up on top of the landfill.
Oh my God.
And he was, I don't know if he was looking out or I think it was behind him. It was supposed to be like, I guess, more trash or something. I don't really remember exactly what it was. All I remember was it was so green screen. It was almost like the weatherman's green screen is better than the CG behind Rick. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
I think it was like either before she pushed him down.
No, it was after.
It was after. So, but it was that. I was like, I remember seeing. That's the one that really sticks out. But yes, I do agree with you. Some of the CG on it is really garbage. Well, no pun intended.
I see what you did there.
I didn't mean to. Actually, said it and I realized it.
I like that.
But it is. It's horrible. Like on sometimes they do a good job and sometimes it's like, does anyone edit this like or view it before they put it in here? It's horrible.
I agree with you.
And
if you
one.
Looked at that scene very closely, I don't know what is flying in the background, but it's like a UFO or just. Like I guess it meant to be a bird or something.
Maybe it is. Maybe it's like, you know, zombie UFOs.
It was horrible. And that goddamn deer. The deer looked awful. It looked
horrible.
Bambi was horrific looking. If they can make Shiva's CG was phenomenal. I liked Shiva's CG. The way they made her was great. But you mean to tell me they didn't have enough money in the budget to make a deer look like a damn deer?
Apparently not.
Pixar can make a deer look better than that
damn deer.
Apparently
Shiva took all the CG budget.
It was awful, man. I hated it. And it kind of took me away from the story because all you're concentrating on is the bad background and the damn deer.
Well, it's the same with, you know, me and... you have to remind me on her name. You know who I'm talking about.
Jadis?
Yes, and her haircut. Every time anytime it's her scene, I can't concentrare on anything but her haircut. It just drives me crazy. I don't know why. Little stupid thing. It's just my own personal problem, but it drives me crazy.
And another complaint. Now, I love Negan. He's one of the Jeffrey Dean Morgan. He's one of the best actors on that show. His character Negan is a absolutely completely scene stealer. But does he have to monologue every damn scene? He has a monologue a mile long. I'm like, dude, get to the point, man.
I guess that's his character. You know? He's like one of those like villains that monologues everything.
He has to monologue everything. He's like, well, Rick. And then you just wait. I see here that we have a problem.
And 5 minutes later, but what's the problem?
And Rick is just standing there like.
Well, because Rick has turned into like the biggest bitch ever.
He was. But
and it's so, and like, I get it, like, you're afraid for everyone, but can't you just, like, can't you, you know, try to, like, work with your people, like, ask them, and when people are coming to you, like, we need to fight, and you're like, oh, I don't want anyone else to get hurt. Well, they want to fight. I'm pretty sure they'd rather die than sit here and with the tail between their legs, you know, like.
Yeah, but I understood Rick's thought, you know. What happened in that first episode, and in my opinion, Andrew Lincoln should have won an Emmy for that episode for the snot bubble itself. That there's not a lot of people who's acting either in film or TV that can blow a snot bubble like Andrew Lincoln. That son of a bitch was huge.
Oh,
it was like,
God.
He was actually blowing a bubble, some bubble gum. It was, you should have won an Emmy for that. But if you look at that scene, you saw that they were surrounded by like 75 men.
Mm-hmm.
And Negan was going to make Rick cut off Carl's arm. And that scared Rick shitless. And you can see his point of view is like, he can't fight them. He can't fight them. There are too many of them. He has to protect Alexandria and the people. There's nothing that he can do. So, yes, he turned into to Negan's pawn, to Negan's bitch. He had no other choice. He was scared to death until he realized, and everybody was trying to get him to this point, but until he realized that, look, he can't just sit back and watch this anymore. He has to fight.
Mm-hmm.
He has to gather up the courage and fight. But he knows that he can't do it with just Alexandria. He has to recruit. And it was the mid-season finale where Negan killed Spencer because Spencer was trying to rise
up against.
Exactly,
Rick,
yeah. Exactly. And when they killed
Olivia? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, that was a badass scene.
Mm-hmm.
I love that scene. I don't know why, but I love that. I love when people get shot in the face like that. But yeah,
there's something I need to know about you, David.
We'll talk after the show. But yeah, it was that episode where he had a talk with Michonne, and he really realized that, okay, I know what I have to do now. It's like Michonne is his Obi-Wan Kenobi, you know, and she tries to give him these little pep talks. And that's another thing. Let me sidebar. Are you buying the relationship between Rick and Michonne?
It feels forced. It almost feels like they're doing it just because they're there together. You know what I'm saying? I think like if they had met and hung out in real life, that connection would never be there. It's not a genuine connection. It's kind of just like, oh, because we're on this journey together, why don't we just add more spice to life? I don't know.
I didn't buy it. I'm still not buying it. I'm not complaining that they are together or nothing like that, but I'm just not buying the relationship. If you ever watched Star Wars Episode II, Attack of the Clones, the relationship between Anakin and Padme was really not believable. It kind of reminds me of Rick and Michonne. It's not really believable. I don't see a love story
mm-hmm.
in that. For some reason.
Like they're missing the emotion.
Mm-hmm. Although they do kiss a lot, and I guess that's their emotion, but you got to have more than that.
But I guess if you're worried about dying and being eaten alive and being shot in the face, then I guess you aren't really exuding a lot of emotion and affection.
And another thing about the show, it seems like they have gotten away from the walkers itself.
Yeah.
It's like the walkers are no longer a threat.
Focus,
the
actual people.
It's actually people versus people now. And now they're getting ready for hashtag all out war.
Right.
The walkers are basically no different from the tree that's outside the pub here.
Right. But I guess if you think about it, let's say we were to have an apocalypse, we were to have something or a viral threat or something that actually doesn't
Aren't we
change.
In the apocalypse right now?
I feel like.
Okay, that's, good. That's for the other show. That's for the other show.
That's a whole other show.
That's for the other show.
But let's say we were in a situation similar to theirs and we're a year or two later, we've adapted and now we know how to kill these walkers, right? Mm. You know, shoot them in the head, stab them in the head, cut their head off, whatever it is, right? So now these walkers really don't seem as big and bad as they were at first when we did not know what they were or we didn't know how to get rid of them, right? Don't make a lot of noise. They won't come to you, whatever. So I think to them, the walkers, as long as they're minimal and we don't attract them in large herds or hordes or whatever, they're not really that big of a threat, right? Our bigger threat now are these, you know, large groups of, you know, quote unquote bad people that we have to now protect ourselves from. We have to protect ourselves from the living more than we do from what we thought was the threat, which were these living dead. And I think that's kind of the idea behind it is, yeah, the threat kind of has shifted.
Yeah, I see your point, but do you think they're concentrating more on the people than the real outside threat?
I mean, I do. I think they could have keep the walkers, you know, around, and I think they kind of sprinkle them in. I think the saviors, you know, brought that horde of walkers into, was it the hilltop, right?
Yeah, it was hilltop.
so they are using them here or there. They did again when the Rick's group went out to. I don't know why I can't ever think of the names of these places. There's too many of them.
Well, you got Hilltop, the Sanctuary. You got
the group of all the women. Which one was
Oceanside?
That? Oceanside. Okay. So when they went to Oceanside and they were blasting, right?
Yeah,
well, then
yeah.
Of course that brought. They didn't think there were a lot of walkers, but then all the walkers from that ship came over.
You had the Pirates of the Caribbean walkers,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was weird. I'm glad I wasn't the only one who thought.
Yeah.
That you know
the curse of the Black Pearl,
right?
Was coming on. Yeah, it was it.
Yeah, so all the walkers from the ship ended up coming that they didn't know were there, coincidentally, of course. So all those walkers then came over. So I think they're still sprinkling them in. It hasn't completely gotten away from the walkers.
Now, I know with this coming up season, it's already been said that the whole all-out war hashtag all out war will only be one season. They're not going to extend it to season 9 or 10 or anything. So we'll see a conclusion. Well, we're supposed to see a conclusion this coming up season. Do you think that's long enough? With Alexandria, Hilltop, the Kingdom, all fighting the Sanctuary and the Garbage Pail Kids.
Right. I like that, actually. They do look like Garbage Pail Kids.
That's what they are.
Yeah, I do. Because they can still spin it off. It's not like they're not going to run into other people. It's not like some of those people aren't going to get away and aren't still going to try to fight later. So, I mean, they can still, you know, use this later into other seasons. It doesn't mean that there aren't going to be other threats as we've seen in previous episodes. So I think one season's enough. I mean, I think if they drag it on to other seasons, people are going to get bored of it.
Now, going back to the relationship with Rick and Michonne, that was initially supposed to be Aunt Andrea.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. You know, Andrea died at the end of season 3. That, and she died prematurely. That's not Lori Holden is her real name. That's not how she was supposed to die. In the comic book, she's still alive.
Yes, correct.
She's a whore, but she's still alive.
No need to judge, you know?
Oh, man. In the comic, they all sleep with everybody. But anyway.
I was about to say, you know, when you're out
you
there,
might as well,
you
got to
relieve your stress somehow.
It's
so.
The apocalypse. You might as well get, you know, just, you know.
No time to judge when you're
but anyway.
Killing zombies.
But anyway, yeah, that's supposed to be Andrea's character. But there was a bunch of this behind-the-scenes crap going on with Frank Darabont and the producers of the Walking Dead, and we'll probably get into that later. But I think it'll be more believable if that was Andrea.
I agree.
I really wish that Andrea was still around.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of which, here's a question for you. how would things be different if Shane was still around? If Frank Castle, the Punisher, was still around?
Right. I think there would have been tension for a while, but I think obviously by now, obviously Daryl got over that, and they're all buddy-buddy and best friends. And I think if he was still with Rick's group, then by this point, I think they would have gotten past that. But Shane was Judith's dad, right? If I'm remembering right.
Yeah. So Rick admitted it this season to Michonne that he knows that Judith is not his.
Okay. So, I mean, I think that still would be some awkward tension. But, you know, I don't know. It's really hard to say had they kept him around. I think that's a storyline that definitely could have gone a bunch of different ways. So, or he could have gone and joined different groups and shown up in different times. I mean, it's really hard to say.
Do you have a particular favorite moment from this past season that you highly enjoyed?
I think one of my favorite moments, honestly, is when Carol first met King Ezekiel. And
she was playing
and
that
she
role.
Was, oh, my God. And she was just like, you could tell she was so sarcastic when she was, you know, speaking to him.
Yeah.
It was just, I don't know why. It was just so funny to me. I just loved it.
It was very comical. I highly enjoyed that. For me, I have to say, actually, this may surprise you because I just watched this again recently. It was the episode, and it focused on the kingdom, but it was the episode where Ben got shot by one of the saviors because of the missing cantaloupe,
mm-hmm.
and then Morgan went medieval on the guy from the kingdom who set it up. That's when Morgan had the turnaround and actually became a killer again.
Yeah.
And he strangled him in front of everyone and beat his head on the concrete. And that was and then he, at the end of that episode, he told Carol exactly what happened at Alexandria with Glenn and Abraham dying. So I think that was one of my favorite episodes. It was a slow episode, but I like the acting and the character portrayal of particularly Morgan and Carol in that episode. But another question, what about, because they had a whole episode on Sasha and Rosita when they was going on their suicide mission to the sanctuary, and they was going to kill Negan. What do you think about that? That whole relation, because you know they was both sleeping with the same man before he died.
I don't know. I mean,
okay. Better yet, put you in that situation.
If I'm going on a mission with another woman, and we're sleeping
with the same man.
I mean, I would think at a time like that, you know, when we've got so many other things going on, I don't think I'd really be too pissed about it. Like, whatever. We don't really have the time. It's not like we have large numbers and we can really be talking about there's other fish in the sea right now, right? So I think jealousy and hurt feelings is natural. But I don't think I would let that get in my way of, hey, we got better fish to fry right now. You know what I'm saying? More important things that we have to worry about. If tonight's your night. Tomorrow's your night. But guess what? He's not even here anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He's fertilizing the grass now. And so I think that personally, that's me personally, how I would just be handling it because, you know.
What about Dr. Eugene Porter?
Oh, my God. I never liked Eugene. I'm so glad you brought him up because I want to talk about. I cannot.
Which I also am, Negan.
I've never liked him from the moment that we met him, and I understand that they thought that he knew something, whatever. But his character has always absolutely driven me crazy, and then even more now because Abraham saved your ass from day one. He was a quote unquote your protector.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. You've never tried
Abraham
to pick up
Rosita for that matter.
Right, exactly. And Abraham essentially died for all of you.
Yeah.
But as Eugene should really be like, Abraham died for me.
That was a cool scene when Abraham died, because if you look closely, he put up
the peace sign.
He put
peace sign, yeah,
to Sasha.
Yes, I saw that. But yeah, Eugene, oh, I can't stand him. I can't stand the way he talks. I can't stand his mullet. My God, cut it off.
That's the mullet of power,
oh,
man.
Oh, no, he's not powerful, though. He's so annoying.
He's got a better mullet than Billy Ray Cyrus did, man. You can't knock the mullet.
I will say he does have a wonderful mullet for an apocalypse. I'll give him credit where it's due, but oh, my God.
Now, the season finale, I liked. I liked the season finale. Mm-hmm. The show ended strong for me.
Yeah.
You finally saw the groups come together and fight back. I thought it was badass that scene where Rick is on his knees and it's like the book ends to remember, yes, the beginning of the season where he was in that same, mm-hmm, position. Negan was in front of him, and at the season finale he's on his knees again, but this time, you know, he says again, I'm going to kill you. He said, but you don't already know that you're already dead. You know, and then right as soon as Negan is about to bash Carl upside the head, out of nowhere, here comes Shiva. Now, okay, like nobody heard a big-ass,
right,
1,200-pound tiger just come out of nowhere. But still, it was exciting, and I was willing to let that scene pass. But the show for me ended strong. Now, real quick, also, which was kind of put on the back burner, was Sasha's death.
I do agree.
What do you think about that? Her death, I didn't like it, but
I liked what happened, though. I liked that, you know, she sacrificed herself in the attempt to, you know, save everybody else. I do kind of like the, you know, what happened, and that it kind of threw Negan off guard for once. Something happened that he wasn't expecting.
If you look at that episode, at the first scene of the episode, you see Sasha listening to her headphones, mm-hmm, and then she slowly dies.
Right.
In that episode, then you go back and see how it all happened. Mm-hmm. Like I said, for me, I liked it. There were some parts in the episode that I didn't like, and I'm just going to be honest with you. There were some parts I didn't like, but I did like how the Kingdom and Hilltop people just came out of nowhere. Yes. They must have found a back door somewhere to Alexandria, because I know they didn't come through the front door, so I don't know where they came from, but they just popped out of nowhere like Batman and just started blasting. And it was cool to see that point. Now, the question I have with you is, where do we go from here? Where do you see the episode going?
I mean, it's hard
from
to
this
say.
Point on. Because it's going to be all-out war.
Right.
So.
I guess it just depends on, you know, okay, does the Hilltop and the, you know, do Rick and everyone else, all these other places, like, come together? And do they have enough people against Negan, you know, or the Sanctuary, whatever? Like, is there enough?
Well, you got the Saviors, and then you got the Garbage Pail Kids.
That's right. So we have the Saviors and the Garbage, and they're all together now.
Yeah.
But, you know, according to people who've scoped out the Saviors, they've got like a bunch of people.
Yeah, they have several outposts.
Right.
But then again, you got Alexandria, Hilltop, the Kingdom, and presumably you got Oceanside.
Mm-hmm.
So is that enough?
Right, that's the question.
And for those of you who don't know, and I don't know if I'm going to say spoilers, and if you don't want to hear my spoiler, then, you know, three, two, one, you've been warned. Heath is coming back.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he was Black Bauer there for a minute on 24, and then that show failed, and so he's coming back to The Walking Dead.
Well, welcome back, Heath.
All right. Well, we're almost done here. So, you know, I would just like to say a few words in ending. And I would like the AMC execs to come to the front of the classroom and let me have a word with you, please. Now, take note from the other cable channel, HBO. If you want your show to grow in numbers, then put money into that show. Game of Thrones grew this season and broke records, and that's including the leak episodes. HBO is putting millions behind Game of Thrones, but why, you ask? Because they value what they have. They have to spend money to make money. Dollar bill, y'all.
That's right.
I am solely behind it.
Making it rain.
You got to, exactly. Thank you. You got to go up and down the pole and make it rain, people. Okay? Please, put money into that show. You know what you have. It's a ratings get. It's the highest rated show on TV. Put more money into it and make it better. But even with me saying all this, I still love the show. Yep. And will continue to watch it no matter what. So in ending, like I said, they ended very strong. And they're making me look forward to season 8. But please don't make me regret it. Please don't make me regret it.
I don't think we will. I think it'll be good. I'm looking forward to it, though, regardless. So.
All right, kids. Well, that's pretty much all that we have today,
yeah,
right?
I think we pretty much covered everything.
We said a lot. So
we did.
Check us out on Facebook at Screenland Squadron, on Instagram at SL.Squadron, and on
Twitter
at SL_Squadron. We'll be back in a couple weeks, guys, with our special guests, Brandon Peters and Colin Brecker from Cult Cinema Cavalcade. And we're going to be talking about the last 10 years in horror movies, the good, the bad, and the what the fuck?
Right, pretty much.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's a lot of what the fucks.
So it's October. It's the season to be scared, damn it. So we will talk to y'all next time. Check us out.
Bye.
Squad out.